Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Gerhardt's back.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
From NJ1015.com, this is the new Jim Gerhardt Podcast.
One. Here we go.
Oh, hello there.
Here we go.
I'm Billy Saul Hurak. And
I'm Big Jim McBob.
Big Jim McBob. Remember that?
Oh, of course. The Second City Television.
SCTV. Gosh, that was great.
Then they blew it up.
They ruined it when they came out of the backwoods of Canada and started doing it on NBC.
That'd be, more mainstream, as it were. Good to be with you again, folks. Facebook Live here with Jim and Bob every Thursday at 10:30.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, we would ask you to participate in this.
So, and our Ed McMahon is playing the part of Ed McMahon.
Oh, that's right.
Is Dan Alexander. Here's Danny.
Morning, gentlemen.
You know, before we get down to the meat of this, I think, as Dan had put up earlier, I would like to point out to you a system which will not guarantee that you would not get the coronavirus, but it would tip the odds very strongly in your favor. Uh-huh. So I want to do that. But first of all, I wanted to mention, you came up with a very good idea for resuscitating New Jersey Transit.
Right.
And that's because a proven administrator.
Hire the British guy, Andy Byford, who just resigned from the MTA a couple of weeks ago over in New York. A great guy. Great front guy. Mm-hmm. Talks to the people. Great communicator. And, you know, although things may not be perfect, at least the people, you know, had a face to the issues, and he really stood up, and he did a great job for us, by all accounts.
But our governor shot you down on that one. Ugh. I don't know if it was in response to you doing that, or maybe other people had suggested it, too, because he was a proven leader of such an operation out there unemployed, using the unemployment line. So you could fetch him out of there. But
I won't take it personally.
But the governor had said reasserted his faith in whoever it is running it now.
Kevin Corbett.
What's his name?
Kevin Corbett.
Right. Ken Corbett?
Kevin Corbett.
Okay, I'm sorry. Somebody said that it was like a troika. There was three people involved.
The Department of Transportation Commissioner is also involved.
Yes.
In that,
and the Ms. governor Gutierrez, Mr. Corbett.
Right. But anyway, I thought it was very interesting. The governor said to the head person, whoever the lead horse in the troika is, that you're doing a great job, and he's doing a great job. So he certainly reinforced his belief that he's not contemplating a change. But what got me about that, does that sound familiar to you, either one of you, saying you're doing a great job to somebody? Huh? Yeah, okay, Dan's got his hand up. Was it?
That'd be you're doing a great job, Brownie.
You're doing a great job, Brownie. That was in 2005, I think it was.
During Katrina.
Katrina. Now, here's the city of New Orleans. The dams, the dikes had broken. Town's inundated with water. People are dying. People are being herded into what turned out to be a filth-laden superdome. And everybody's yelling, where's the help? Where's the government? Where's the disaster people? Yeah. And I remember sitting there watching that, and you're almost saying, for God's sake, what are you doing? Where's your people? The emergency management.
FEMA.
Yeah. Where's FEMA? And I don't know that they ever showed up. But anyway, President Bush went down to observe the scene, and he went up to the head of the organization there. And here with complete devastation around, he walked up, Dan, your cue, he walked up to him, shook his hand, and said,
you're doing a great job, Brownie.
Brownie. I don't know what happened to Brownie.
I don't know.
But I do know that the FEMA did not get many smiley faces on that one.
No, they didn't, no.
What I wanted to bring up, we're talking about the coronavirus, and since we seem to have half the world soiling their undies.
Everybody's all ginned up about this thing.
Yeah. I wanted to point out a system, as I said, that will not guarantee you won't get it, but it's going to give you a very good jump on a situation. And that system is called the human immune system. And if you notice now, the people who are being most affected by this do have a, I think what they call a pre-existing condition or some particular weakness. And I believe that in the state of Washington, a town called Kirkland, which is a Seattle suburb, nine people died.
Right, from the same facility, is that correct?
From the same facility. Mm-hmm. This was a elder care facility. Yeah. And they all obviously had some kind of a condition, and they had weakened immune systems. Now, whether this is universal or not, I don't know. But I was likening this. There are certain parallels to the Great Plague in Europe, the old bubonic plague, the Black Death, you know, in Europe.
The 1300s?
It was in the 14th century. Well, actually, it crept up from Italy is where it started. I won't get into the history of it. Hit England in about 1342. Now, what happened there was, here was a disease, of course, the bubonic plague, and here was a population. Now, the population had been suffering for a number of years from a change in climate. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, happens from time to time, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And since 1315, it has rained almost every day. Mm. And so this devastated the crops. And people were living on what they could scratch up, and often even moldy wheat, because what did grow rotted very quickly. The point is that the immune systems were almost non-existent in people. The human body is made to attack and defend itself from this sort of thing. However, the system that does that, the troops, were all, you know, down on their knees because the diet and the climate and the life that he had led. So they had nothing in the system left to defend them from this. Therefore, this was a great part of the devastation. Now, the parallel, in my view anyway, and purely a matter of opinion, we have a whole population in this country, the Western countries really, that in a sense do have crippled immune systems because of the diet.
Yes,
I don't think people will argue against that anymore. And things that are attacking and killing and debilitating the immune system in this country, let's stick quickly with this country, processed foods by and large.
Oh, great.
The
Absolutely.
Ingredients in foods. Bob, you've certainly looked into that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, beside that, it's a huge percent of the population. Is it something like 60% or something has diabetes?
It's pretty high up there.
It's growing all the time. And even they're finding out that this is starting in very, very young.
A lot of it is adult onset, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so this is a pre-existing condition. Obesity, of course, is another pre-existing condition that does damage to the body's ability, the troops the body has, you're naturally born with, and we all have,
to fight off infections. And disease,
So what this leads to, I guess, and I don't want to try to sit here like thump a pulpit yelling about nutrition, because frankly I'm not a nutritionist, but things that are quite obvious, the best thing that you could do if you're really afraid of this is to get your immune system up and operating, which means detoxing. And you could say, well, why do I have to detox? You know, I don't drink, or, you know, not in excess, or I don't do this or that. If you're on the basic American diet, you're eating foods that is processed, not whole foods, processed foods of any kind. They do have, if you look at the labels on practically any food you buy at a market, and it'll have a list as long as your arm sometimes.
And they're very confusing if you're not in tune or really educated.
So I think people generally don't pay a whole lot of attention to that.
Takes a little bit of doing.
But I think what I would suggest people do, just to make a short of this thing, and not trying to jump down anybody's throat, is go online. You can get all kind of information about this. And I had a book. I brought this up once before, and I don't think I bought it this time. I brought it this time. It's called Toxins. Very simply, I think it was on the New York Times bestseller list one time. I don't know if anybody ever reads the books that get on that list. They buy them,
It helps the sales for the books.
But I'm not sure anybody
being listed on the.
But it gets into that in detail, and practically everything people eat in the way of fast food, pre-prepared foods of any kind, processed foods, it is full of enemies.
Things that aren't good for you.
Yeah.
That actually attack your body.
Yeah. So look that up. And I think my point is the best defense that you have against this virus and others is to somehow activate your antibodies, your immune system, because that's what it's there for. But this whole system that we have here, the food system, is seriously crippling it.
So the best things we can do to combat it right now is, like you're saying, is watch your diet, do a little detox, mm-hmm. make sure that you're at your peak efficiency to defend against illness, practice safe cleanliness, right? Wash your hands.
You don't have to go to any kind of extreme. I really stick with what's called a plant-based diet, whole food or natural foods. Unprocessed, mostly vegetables, but I sometimes sneak in fish. Mm-hmm. But just watch it. Educate yourself on that matter.
Right, and if you're susceptible to illness,
detox, I think people think
it's a little bit extreme.
You know, you're going into convulsions or the like. This is not necessarily so, but just
your
get
body.
Some information
your
about
body
it.
Should be at its peak. Peak condition at times of when it has to fight an illness.
Of course, yes,
so
exactly.
You really don't want to take any chances. You'll want to expose yourself if you don't need to.
And you learned that really through trying personal experience.
Right. Well, you know, I'm immune deficient now because of my surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got to be very watchful of that. I'm very, very militant about washing my hands and keeping my work surfaces and things around me clean and. You know, around my environment, you can only do so much, but you really have to take an active part in making sure that you're protected as best you can.
But as we said, the human body is prepared to fight for you. You have to give it a chance. You have to feed it, really, and get this up and working again. And there's no guarantee that it's going to protect anybody from a virus.
Right.
But it's going to tip the odds very strongly in your favor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, rest my case.
Anybody have any comments about what we're talking about? Just jot them on the Facebook page here, and we'd love to respond to you, right?
Yeah, what else, just some of the things going on. In New Jersey, okay, let's stay here in the Garden State for a while. The plastic bag ban or proposed ban mm-hmm. is back up in the news again.
It's supposed to be voted on today, right, Dan? Is this round two?
The Senate is scheduled to take a vote today, yes.
Mm-hmm. And what does that translate into? That if it's passed, that all plastic bags at supermarkets?
Single-use plastic. So basically what we get now, single-use plastic bags and paper bags would be banned from, you couldn't hand them out. And also, plastic straws would be available on a limited basis.
Now, wait a minute. Now, paper bags, too?
Yes.
That I didn't realize.
Yep.
Well, now, in New York, they banned the plastic bags. Did they ban paper bags as well?
Yeah, yes.
But, that went in over in New York on last March, this past week, mm-hmm. March 1st. Apparently, the law is not going to be completely enforced, and people will not be penalized until April 1st. So they're getting a 30-month break-in period with the new life without plastic bags.
All right, but somebody said, I believe, I haven't followed this that closely, but I think it's a no-brainer to ban these things. But the ban will actually be in effect when?
Well, if it passes this, in New Jersey, if it passes today, what's it, 18 months, right, Dan?
Months. Year well, and a half? By 18 months, there won't be any oceans left. So, I mean, it's kind of a moot point. Hmm. You know what that reminds me of? Again, just a quick aside, things that pop historically into your head in New Jersey. Back in the early part of this millennium, or maybe even going back to the 1990s, the legislature passed a law, which is still a law on the books, that anybody having or wanting a firearm in New Jersey had to get one that was a foolproof system, a tamper-proof lock sort of system on it. However, they said that that would go into effect as soon as somebody invents one.
just to clarify, I found an article in the New York Post.
Yeah.
the ban, you can pay a nickel to get a paper bag at a supermarket, at a store in New York. Plastic bags, no, but you can pay a nickel to get a paper bag.
Every time you go in. So you go to Christie's or whatever supermarket, you need 10 bags. It's going to cost you 50 cents every shopping
trip.
That's correct. Right? So, all right, so there's still some options. You're not walking home with eggs in one hand and a thing of bread in the other. Yeah, right. Chiclets and stuff. Yeah, at least you got a bag for it.
Man. So, again, I think it's absolutely necessary to do that, but I'd like to see it done right away.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you can't do that because of the commercial interest there, the corporate interest in the manufacture of these bags. Well, I love the argument the last time it came up by the plastic bag industry, who said you don't need to do away with plastic bags. What we need are heavier, thicker plastic bags.
Yeah, well, the
which to me would multiply the ill effects, the devastation and stuff.
Right.
But
what do you think about straws? I'm not a straw person. I'd rather just drink out of a cup or a glass or whatever. But apparently, people are not thrilled with these new paper straws. I mean, they have a very, very short lifespan, like maybe about 5 or 10 minutes before, if you don't use them and they're immersed in a liquid, that they just become completely start to disintegrate and they're rendered useless after about 10 minutes.
My wife and I have a restaurant that we like to go to, and they use paper straws, and they're fine.
Really?
I'll usually be using
better paper straws.
And the straw will sit in the water and for the whole meal, so you figure it's maybe 45 minutes to an hour. And
well, so much for what I just said.
Serious. I mean, I'm not trying to give you...
It's fine.
It's just that it's...
Be
it's,
nice. Don't fight.
It's fine.
Nice
point. We've not encountered
Someone gave me metal straws as a gift last year.
Oh, well, I was just thinking. Everybody tried noodles.
Noodles?
Well, I mean, aren't there hollow pastas, long... I
haven't thought about that. Interesting.
I know. Nobody seems to have thought about that. I just thought about it.
Okay.
I don't know. I thought there's some that would probably make a nice straw.
Yeah.
Well, anyway... Or cinnamon sticks, I think.
Oh, they
used to use. Remember back in the day when were big?
Now you're on something.
Okay, what's going on here? Moving on beyond. If anybody has a big argument about it, we'd love to hear from you one way or the other.
Right.
I think people don't have time really to keep up with what's going on.
Right. They have a very short time, and they need to get their information and move on.
What happened was, after years of resisting it, I finally got Netflix. And I watched every documentary. I didn't watch very few shows. I wasn't that interested in them, but just documentaries. And there's so many on subjects like this.
A lot of good stuff.
You can see graphically what's happening. Oh, you know, I tell you another one interesting that thing that's going on here, water. As long as we're on the subject of devastating the planet. Water is potable drinking water, safe water, is becoming very, very scarce worldwide. And much of the available water supply is going not to human beings, but it's going to animals. It's animal agriculture, raising cattle and the like, huge amount of it. And then they, in turn, are exercising their scatological functions and polluting the water.
Right.
So they're going to run out for themselves. But that reminds me, remember what the president of Brazil said? You think that President Trump is eccentric. The president of Brazil had come out, and as far as we know, he was serious about this, and he said the best way to save the environment is for everybody just to poop every other day. Now, go figure. That was
like
the president.
Odd and even?
Well, some people are not. Like gasoline.
Somebody have to go when they got to go, but wouldn't that be a little bit of a strain on the sewer system?
Here's something that's criminal. Now, this is also part of the same plastic thing because of the bottled water, which is huge. And this is one of the worst polluters currently befouling the mother planet. But the fact, now, all for money. Get this now. Nestle, a company who makes a lot of bottled waters.
Oh, yeah, and a lot of other products. Yeah.
Is set to renew its permit to bottle fresh water from one of Florida's springs. The permit allows Nestle to take 1 million gallons a day.
From this aquifer.
From this aquifer at no cost.
Goodness.
After paying a $115 application fee.
Wow.
Now, we are sitting in New Jersey on the Pinelands, on one of the great aquifers of the world. And this is why you have the Pineland regulations, of course, and the restrictions, is to try to protect that. But here they're just giving that away. I don't know why. Why wouldn't you? You think you charge them something. But for a $115 fee, Nestle gets to take 1 million gallons of pristine, pure spring water a day.
That's incredible. Yeah, so like you're saying, like what is stopping a company up here in New Jersey from doing the same?
I would
one of the Pineland aquifers.
I would think somebody had some political influence somewhere to get a crime like that.
Wow, that's just incredible.
Okay, moving right along. I want to, speaking of legislature, I would like to see somebody introduce a bill and force it to ban the people who, customer service people with companies from using the phrase, your call is very important to us. Because you know when you hear that, the call doesn't mean anything to them.
Right.
The call doesn't mean diddly, or somebody would answer the phone.
I would definitely agree, yeah. And you wonder, and they say all of our operators are busy. I'll bet you there's one operator for about 100 incoming calls at some of these companies.
Well, this is the problem, to save the money. They may have two operators there. Yeah. So I imagine sometimes it must be down to one. And then they come back after, your call is very important to us. Your call will be answered in the order in which it was received. And the estimated waiting time is 27 minutes.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think the most I ever got that I can remember was 17 minutes.
Oh, you're good. I've gotten about 35 or 45.
Have you really gotten that?
And then they say,
I don't call the right people.
No,
like
then
this.
They say, would you like to leave a message or call back later? It's like,
did
no,
they
I'm just
actually call
here.
Back? Have you ever?
I've never done that. I just stay on the line. I just suck it up and just stay on the line and. They get to me in about 35 or 45 minutes. At least they're telling you the truth. Crazy.
You were telling me something before we started this about Senator Sanders or Bernie, who had made some kind of recently. Dan would know
over
about
the last
this,
day or so.
The last few minutes or something, or the last few hours.
Since
had
Super
made
Tuesday.
A remark which sort of you would think would maybe compromise his.
He basically
his,
said, and this is the gist of it,
his,
and in.
His,
In an interview last night, he basically admitted that if Joe Biden gets a plurality of the delegates and he starts to pull away and there's no chance of him winning, Bernie winning, that he will concede and he will throw his support to Joe Biden at some point. But my point is, the fight is still going on. And if I'm a Bernie supporter, I want to hear my guy say, we're not done yet. We haven't begun to fight. And I want you all to dig in, and I want you to fight this. Well, this isn't over yet.
The problem with all
but
this
I'm
is...
I'm just curious on why he would make that... yes, eventually the party's going to come together. That's what they want to do.
You have no way of knowing people don't what exactly is going on, because everything's going on. I think Eric Scott used to say this with great wisdom, that everything in the political arena and legislation is done in some closed room somewhere behind the scenes. And what we get is some interpretation by media, which often nowadays is so slanted, you don't know, you know, what's true and what's not true.
Yeah, Sanders was on the Rachel Maddow show last night on MSNBC, and he said that if he is left, I'm reading from a Newsweek article, he says, if he is left with fewer delegates than Biden at the end of the primary season, he plans to bow out of the race, insisting that using superdelegates to decide the nomination would be a mistake.
Right, he doesn't want to get into the weeds of contesting the nomination, right, Dan?
Quote, if Biden walks into the convention or at the end of the process and has more votes than me, he's the winner, said Sanders, before confirming that he would concede whether the lead was a majority or a plurality.
Well, Sanders is a gentleman when it comes to that sort of thing. He's not going to...
Oh, come on. He's a crusty, ill-tempered old man. And I know about crusty old man.
But my point is... Even if that is so, why did he have to announce that now?
I have no idea. I was thinking about this during this thing.
We do have some other breaking news from the political front.
Uh-huh. What's that?
Apparently, Elizabeth Warren is dropping out.
Oh.
She going back to the teepee.
apparently.
She is
suspending her presidential campaign. She'll be announcing the decision at 11 o'clock, according to NBC News.
Oh, wow.
And so, she's throwing her support to whom?
We don't.
It does not say here.
It's got to be Biden. Because I think the party must be really doing arm twisting.
Yeah, it's got to be. I mean, and plus her and Bernie had a little bit of a dust up in one of the earlier debates. You remember that one?
Well,
she said, did you just call me? The mic was hot after the debate was over, and it said, I believe you just called me a liar on national television. And he's going, no, let's not talk about this now. Let's talk about this later. No, I think you called me a liar. That's pretty funny.
Well, I think we've called a whole bunch of liars.
So it'll be interesting to see who she throws her support behind.
Well,
but you're probably right. It's going to be Biden, I think.
Look, it's almost like the Children's Crusade, you know, because most of his followers are very young people. Many, of course, on the college campuses and all, whose brains, I guess, for their recent pass through puberty, has expanded their brains to some colossal galactic state, and they know everything. Well, they're getting to run the colleges. Why not? But this seemed to be the route, and I was just hoping that the children in this Children's Crusade end up better off than the ones in the original Children's Crusade.
Right.
Remember that? Well, you weren't there.
No.
1212 was the year.
No, a little before my time.
Yeah, and Pope Innocent III was trying to stop it. but they got 20,000 kids that were going to go over and take the Holy Land back from the Moors. And they never got there. In fact, a few of them ever got. The ones that got into boats, actually, to go, and these were children, they were captured by the Moors and sold as slaves.
Mm.
So it didn't work out terribly well. And the others were driven out of the city because it was kind of like, I guess, some of the towns in Mexico now trying to get the transients out who can't get across the border, so they're camped out. And everything became overloaded there. Anyway, be that as it may, that's our walk down memory lane.
And you just wanted to say something about your pleasant insurance experience.
Yeah, I don't want to. I'll do that next week when we got more time.
Right.
I brought this up last week. This to me was an enlightening experience. We had an experience with an insurance, one of the big insurance companies, whose name I will reveal at the end because it ended out well, and I thought they did a remarkable thing, who had declared a claim to be what invalid claim because of a technicality. And at the time, I was simply saying, read the small print. Nobody reads the small print in their insurance policy. I never had. You ever do that?
No.
Because there are clauses down there that one did give them an out because this was, in effect, they claimed it was a pre-existing condition or an accident waiting to happen. Therefore, they would not honor the claim. And it's a pretty sizable thing. This was a large vehicle. And so that was the end of the matter. Then later, we got a call from somebody higher up than the evaluator who said, you know, we've taken a second look at this. Mm-hmm. And the upshot of it is it ended very happily. But I thought it was very interesting, the fact that the first person said absolutely not. You know, here in the article, this section here.
But their supervisor overrode their decision.
But the person in charge. And I want to tell a little bit more of that story because I think it was rather remarkable that a company who presumably could have, and maybe some companies less, ethical than this one would have let it go at that. Here's their opportunity to get out because never thought of contesting the thing. I mean, you're going to go to a lawyer over that and spend more money than you're losing.
And there was a sizable amount of money on this.
Yeah.
But
anyway, there is a happy ending to an insurance
claim. That's good.
That I wanted to talk about. Oh, one thing, talking about cars. I'd never heard of this before. Yesterday, I got my Miata out of the garage where it's been sitting since last October.
Springtime.
And, of course, the inspection sticker had run out in the meantime. So I went to the inspection station, and everything was ready. It flunked. And I'd never heard of this before. It was a lack of onboard diagnostic readiness, onboard diagnostic readiness failure.
All right, now, did you have work done on it prior to...
Well, I had, the whole time it was sitting there, I had the battery cable, the positive battery cable off to keep the battery from running down. Every now and again, I'd go out and stick it back on and fire the car up.
Well, that, if I'm not mistaken, that could be because your computer was not set to be tested.
That's what they said.
Because once your computer is reset, and I don't even know, perhaps... with the battery being disconnected for the long time that you didn't drive it, that may have reset the computer on its own. And once the computer is back on and ready to be driven, you have to put on a certain amount of miles.
Well, I drove it today, which was a few miles. I'm going to let it go for a while.
Yeah.
Well, they give you a red sticker, but they also give you this readout that if you get stopped, you show it to them.
Yeah.
But there's no time limit on it that I can see.
I think you have to go at least 40 to 50 miles, depending on the vehicle. Mm-hmm. Some vehicles take at least 80 or 100 or 120 miles. But
I wish I'd run into you before yesterday.
But you'll certainly you don't know these things. You're going in. Who knew that disconnecting a battery would reset your computer?
There was a time when going to a motor vehicle agency or inspection was just like walking into hell.
Yeah.
You expected Karen to be in a boat there to lead you across the River Styx or something, right into the bowels of hell. But I go to one that is an absolute pleasure. And I hesitate. I tell people about this, but I hesitate to make it public.
No, because it's your secret, man.
This is
lines out the around the corner.
I have had up to five cars, so I'm in there frequently. But it is the most pleasant place, and the people are absolutely great. I'll tell you where it is.
You're
not going down there. It's on Route 38 in what I guess would be East Hampton, next to Mount Holly, which is the Burlington County seat.
All right.
It's on Route 38. And if you go in there, tell these people that I had spoken very highly of them.
That's a fairly new one, isn't it?
No, not really.
Oh, okay, I'm confused.
So this is a DMV and an inspection station?
No,
just the inspection station.
I'm not going to tell you where I go to the DMV because the one in the town where I live is, again, kind of reminiscent of the old days. It brings back old memories, mostly because of crowding.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I don't. You know, people who work in that, you have to understand, that must be very difficult keeping your temper.
Oh, yeah.
Dealing with the public. Mm-hmm. But I know one that is run extremely well, and people who go way out of their way to be helpful and to get you in and out. Yeah. But I'm not going to tell you where that is.
That's fine.
And it's not that, well, I'm not going to tell you where it is.
So it's a beautiful day, and you got your Miata up here, and it's a little cool for the top down.
No,
right?
It's not. That's why I got it.
Now, you were, if my memory serves, were you in a Miata club a bunch of years ago?
Yeah, that was great. And it was a different Miata.
Was that club, did that go up to the Poconos for the racetrack or something, if I recall?
You know what you mean, no.
Where they used to have access to driving on the track at Pocono?
I know there was one place that you could take a Porsche and do that just for fun, get out on the track, and because there's no way you can see how fast it's going to go.
Right.
Well, you can, but I mean, I'm not going to tell you where I do it.
But it's a great day to get out there
and beautiful day.
Open her up, and the time change is coming up this weekend. So,
oh, really?
Things are getting brighter. You're going to lose an hour.
I'm glad I came in today.
Sunday morning.
I would never have known that.
Yep, so,
okay.
Lose an hour of sleep, but we gain an hour of daylight.
All right. Okay, Jim Gerhart, Bob Williams, thank you very, very much for your support.
Gerhart's back.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
From NJ1015.com, this is the new Jim Gerhart Podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.